Yesterday, we brought you a story about how a warm water anomaly in the Northeast Pacific Ocean, nicknamed the Blob, is suspected as a catalyst for whale and sea lion strandings, seabird die-offs, sea star wasting disease, and other changes in marine habitat all up and down the West Coast. But how did it happen, and what kind of effect will El Niño have on it? KTOO's Matt Miller tries to find out in the second of a two-part series.
Nicholas Bond, the Washington State climatologist who coined the nickname that evokes images of the old Steve McQueen teen horror movie, believes the genesis of the blob was in the far western subtropical Pacific Ocean in 2013.
It really is a mix of mechanisms here and in different places at different times.
That was Bond speaking at a recent conference on the University of Washington campus. The mass of warm water, sometimes several thousand miles across, became more apparent as it showed up in the Northeast Pacific, the Gulf of Alaska, and then down the coast to Baja California.
We have been a little bit simplistic in just thinking about the blob moving bodily around. And for example, last winter, very warm air coming up along the West Coast, record heat in the Pacific Northwest and so forth. And so it was the lack of the surface fluxes to cool the ocean that was a lot of it there. It wasn't just the blob getting bodily moved with the mean currents.
Put simply, surface fluxes are the transfer of energy through cooling, evaporation, wind, and turbulence. The blob's persistence over 2 years may have been partly due to a weak atmospheric pressure system called the Aleutian Low that did not generate the usual storms and winds that are necessary for cooling the sea surface.
There's a lot of north, south, and east, west things here happening, and I'm cautious about saying there's one smoking gun.
Richard Dewey of Ocean Networks Canada and the University of Victoria suggests that a storm in August of 2012 blew out much of the summer sea ice in the Arctic. The lack of ice cover allowed for more heat retention in the Bering Sea and Arctic Ocean, and less cold water eventually flowed south into the Gulf of Alaska.
The anomaly, the warm anomaly, it's not so much that where did the warm water come from, we had an absence of cooling.
There's evidence that an earlier version of the warm water anomaly appeared in 2004 and 2011, and some scientists believe the current blob may be dying or already dead. But dissenters like Dewey believe there's still enough heat energy deep below the surface to keep the anomaly active through the summer.
Is it dead yet? So the Monty Python reference here, I'm not quite dead to go on the cart, but no, perhaps it's very ill.
But it's the ecologists, biologists, and oceanographers who are hoping for the very worst outcome for the blob. This is Bill Peterson, oceanographer at National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Newport Research Station in Oregon.
That's what frightens me. It's not so much the big problems we've had last year and this year, but if this goes on one more year, we're going to have a lot of dead salmon on the beach, a lot of dead sea lions, a lot of dead fur seals, a lot of dead auklets, mers. It's just going to be a nightmare.
One big wild card is El Niño, the phenomenon associated with equatorial warming of the Pacific Ocean. This year's El Niño is among the top three strongest events ever recorded, and it could influence marine and atmospheric circulation patterns that stir up the water column and eventually kill the blob by cooling the sea surface. But as one scientist suggested, it also could set the scene for an oceanic tag team wrestling match in which the blob's impacts are later exacerbated and prolonged by El Niño along the West Coast. Oceanographers and atmospheric scientists say there's a good chance that El Niño will probably peter out by summer, followed by the pendulum swinging the other way to equatorial cooling, or La Niña, later this year. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.